This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode number 216 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John. Mike, you sound awful clear this week.
Yeah, you sound pretty clear yourself.
There's no, like, static or... Did you invest in some new equipment?
Nope. Not at all. No.
Must be because
we're sitting in the same room.
Oh, that's right.
We're sitting across the table from each other.
That's right. We're still socially distancing, but Maine no longer has the stay-at-home rule.
Yeah.
They still suggest that you stay at home as much as possible, but people are out everywhere.
They really are, and there's a lot of people out there that are being cautious, and there's a lot of people out there that aren't being cautious.
Yeah.
And John and I are both cautious people because we have respect for ourselves and our families.
Yes, and I've got to say, like, on the cautious side of things, I always wear a mask.
Yep.
I go anywhere in public.
Yep.
I felt like a shit a couple weeks back because I was going to visit a friend of mine. She'd never had Lucky Garden. So I was like, I'll go pick it up. And it didn't click in my head because I haven't done takeout for so long that I went to go pick up the stuff. And they had the door basically barricaded because, you know, you can't go in there. And they were like, oh. And it didn't occur to me until I saw the woman walk up. I'm like, I forgot to put my mask on.
Yeah.
It just... So I felt bad, but...
Did you grab your t-shirt and pull it up over your face?
No, the damage was done. But I will say, I finally broke down. Like, everybody's got, you know, they're starting to get into that phase of this where people are getting the fashionable face masks and everything.
Oh, fuck that.
Well, I said the same thing, but I found one the other day online that spoke to me so deeply that I had to order it, and I'm waiting for it to come in now.
And what was it?
It's a black face mask, and embroidered across the front of it, it says... Spaceballs the face mask.
I want one of those.
I just looked at it and I was like,
really bad.
This is so perfect because it doesn't, like, it's not a common thing anymore, but holy crap, I need to have this.
Well, you know how I've lost a lot of weight.
Nice.
My wife took one of my old New Japan Pro Wrestling t-shirts and gave me a mask. My yellow one, which was my favorite one, but she made me a mask with the logo from the lion, which is on the chest.
Nice.
And then she actually used parts of the t-shirt to make me strands so it ties around your head.
Which is better than the ears.
Yes.
Yeah,
and so
me,
like,
it like pulls
if I'm going to be someplace for a long period of time, I wear this one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because the other side of it's the back of the shirt, which says pro wrestling. So I wear this one, but if I'm just running into a place, I did find some of these cheapy white ones.
Dude, those look like a banana hammock.
Yeah, I know. But when you throw them on, it doesn't actually pull or hurt my ears whatsoever.
Nice.
And some of the ones they gave us free at work do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome. My office is the one that got some of those free ones.
Oh, and then they gave us these ones at work, which I'm like, everyone hates law enforcement now. Why the fuck would I wear this?
Yes, really don't want to be advertising that you're in law enforcement.
And this is a polyester one, which is, guess what? Not breathable.
And I bet it fogs up your glasses like a sun bitch.
Well, all of them do. That's why you have to wear your glasses like that, kind of.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Down over the bridge of your nose. Yeah, no, these ones here, these plain ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these really pull on you. This really pulls on
your
ears.
That's what I've got right now. So I'm hoping that this one that comes in is going to be better. But even if it isn't, it does the same thing to mine. Like, folds my ears down.
Yeah. And the white ones I was showing you.
Don't
do that at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is an unopened six pack of them.
Nice. It's,
Well, I have to go teach at the academy in a couple weeks. And I'm pretty sure we have to wear them the whole fucking time.
It's... You know, this is what life is now.
Yeah.
And that's the other reason that I got that is because I'm like, this isn't a fad. It's not like, you know.
No.
People jump on the train.
People in China and Japan have been wearing masks for years all day. I watch wrestling shows from Japan, and you see people in the audience and they have the mask on through the whole show.
Yeah.
The face covering on through the whole show. It's just, you know, it's a way of life there, and
it's becoming a way of life here.
And I know a lot of people disagree with it or whatever, but at the same time, like, my mom works at a golf course, and they're not allowed to, you know, people have to have tee times, reservations, 12 minutes apart, you know, tee times. You just can't walk in anymore. I mean, like, there's a lot of guidelines. And do you think my mom likes enforcing any of them?
No.
It's because it causes a hardship on her for her to do her job.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't help when people come in are ignorant and like, this one lady, like, gave my mom the finger, flipped her off as they were driving away because they couldn't have a tee time right then, but they, you know, at 11 o'clock, they didn't have one open, but the next available one was at 12:30. They'd have to wait.
Yeah.
You know? And we want to play golf now. We don't want to wait. Why can't we just go right after that? You know what I mean? Like, just people being ignorant. And it's like, hey, my mom doesn't like imposing the rules, but she has to so they can stay open.
Right.
So respect the fact that this is what we need to do so we can function as a business and just be happy you can do it. Granted, no, you can't do it at the leisure you used to like to, but oh well. You can't go to the movies and go, I want to watch this movie right now. Well, it doesn't start for half an hour. I don't give a fuck. Start it right now.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, that's essentially what that person was doing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, technically speaking, you can't go to the movies now, period.
Well, but we can go to the drive-in.
Yeah.
Which is great for the drive-ins in Maine. Their business is just unbelievable right now.
Well, I saw that thing a couple of weeks back. We may have already talked about it, where AMC says that they may not be able to recover from this.
Yeah.
Like, AMC theaters may not be able to reopen.
Yeah.
And if they go down, either Regal is going to step up and be like, ha-ha, we're taking over the number one spot, or they're going to say, they're right, we can't either.
It'll be interesting. I mean, I remember 7 years ago, 2013 was, you know, a big year for drive-ins and if they're going to make it or not, because the movie industry switched over from doing 35mm prints to the digital, the hard drives, you know? And in drive-ins, like, they were just kind of keeping their head above water as it was.
Oh, yeah.
Showing movies, you know, but to invest in a $150,000 projector or a $90,000 projector, you know, it just wasn't something that a lot of them could do or even think about doing. And then now, it was my ankle cracked. And now you look at, you know, 7 years later and it's like, you know, all the drive-ins in Maine, luckily, were able to switch over to the new digital projectors.
Mm-hmm.
Two new drive-ins have opened since then. One in a previous location, one brand new. The previous location has two screens even that's reopened in Bangor. So now you have seven drive-ins in Maine, and they've all managed to, like, they're playing movies almost 7 days a week, five nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even on weeknights. And when you go to the drive-in, like, especially this time of year, you can't start that movie till 8:45, practically,
right.
8:30, 8:45.
Yeah.
You know, and for another 6 days, you know, on June 21st, I mean, you're starting that movie at almost 9 o'clock at night, if not after 9.
Can't believe it's mid-June already.
Yeah, it's kind of absurd.
Mid-June already, and this morning I had to put on long-sleeve shirts.
It's cold this morning.
Because it was cold.
Yeah.
The world's weird.
It certainly is.
So, Mike, I know you were away for a little bit this weekend, but did you watch some stuff this week?
Not much.
Okay.
No, because, I mean, I was gone Friday and Saturday and just camping, and I'm going to be back in the office full time here starting tomorrow, so I won't be watching shit during the day anymore like I was. So it'll be decreased. I'll still watch stuff. It'll just be decreased.
Yep. I watched one new show, and then technically we have another new show to talk about.
Sure.
And then, you know, I watched some stuff. I will say this right now.
Yeah.
I finished season one of Doom Patrol.
Oh, nice.
I want to go back and watch it again.
Really? What's the reasoning?
Because it was just so good. It was so enjoyable. It was so much fun. The characters were a blast to watch. Like, even when they got angsty and down, it didn't bother me. Like, it wasn't like a CW show. And I think part of that is because they were so grown up and they could swear. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, Robot Man never stopped swearing. Like, every second word out of his mouth is fuck. Mm. But some of the stuff was just so ridiculously over the top that it were kind of like Legends, you know?
Sure.
This is like Legends on steroids, where, you know, Danny the Street, you have a character in the show that actually has a very predominant role. And he's a street Like, he doesn't talk. He talks through electronic signs and billboards and the signs on the windows of the stores that are on his self or their self, because Danny is also genderqueer.
Right.
Doesn't have a gender, so they can teleport and appear wherever they want.
Non-binary now, isn't it?
Non-binary, yep. Or Ezekiel, the cockroach, voiced by Booger, who, you know, was a doomsayer and ended up becoming a main antagonist for like 5 seconds. Or what was his name? Admiral Nibbles or something like that? The rat? It's bizarre.
Yeah.
Alan Tudyk as the narrator, Mr. Nobody.
I love Alan Tudyk.
I love Alan Tudyk too. And it just, it added so much to the show, especially when you find out that his narration wasn't just narrating. It was literally part of his powers. Like, this was just so damn good, and I can't wait for the second season to start up on the 26th. But, like, this is a new show that I will watch over and over again. Kind of like Harley Quinn.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Oh, you know what I bought the other day?
What did you buy?
Find it on Alerts. I was ordering some Target stuff like we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. And on the Target app, they had $5 off Stranger Things Season 1 or Season 2.
Hmm.
And then they had Stranger Things Season 1, the Blu-ray and DVD set. That comes in the old VHS-looking box on sale for $10.
Wow.
So then it was $5. And so I was like, I guess I'm going to buy this. I mean, it's on Netflix, I realize. I'll probably always have Netflix. I guess I'm just going to buy it anyways. So I own that now.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Kanan loves the show, so maybe.
I mean, you may never take it out of the package, but
I did to look at it.
Oh, okay.
Then I put it back in.
So why don't you tell us about some of the stuff you did watch? We'll see if we can match up on some things.
Yeah, it's not. It's really not a lot, unfortunately. Well, I guess, I mean, we watched a new show today, the wife and I. Before you came over, we watched, it's Uncharted with Gordon Ramsay. Couldn't think of his name.
Okay.
It's on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Netflix, but it was a National Geographic show.
Okay.
And essentially, in the first episode, he goes to Peru, which apparently there's parts of Peru that are 3 miles above sea level, which they make a big deal out of Denver being the mile high city here in the United States. But in Peru, like, there's a couple areas where it's like you're 2 miles above sea level. The air is a lot more thin there. And anyways, so the whole point of the show is he goes to these far places like this. And the next episode, he's in New Zealand somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, he learns about it's kind of a cross between Anthony Bourdain's No Reservations and then the other guy.
Destination Unknown?
Nope. And then the other guy who had the gross food show.
Oh, yeah. Not Man vs. Food, but
yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
He came
about.
To Maine and ate beaver. No one fucking eats beaver in Maine. Yeah. But anyways. So, as in the animal.
I was going to say, maybe if they did, we wouldn't have so many babies running around.
So, but he kind of goes to Peru and he learns about their local culture when it comes to foods or specialties. And he basically kind of has a competition at the end. Like, he meets a chef there from the native area. And then he goes and learns about their native cuisine and some of their cultures and everything. And then he kind of has a cook-off with them at the end using, like, the native food.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently in Peru, they eat guinea pigs. Like, it's apparently delicious.
I'm making a very gross face right
now. And they eat a lot of alpaca. But, like, because the food is at just a higher elevation, like the fruits and stuff, there's less carbon dioxide, but there's also less oxygen, but there's less humidity. And so, like, all the fruit is sweeter. Because the way it grows from the environment it grows in, the food's sweeter, the taste of it's different. Like, he kept talking about how the high elevation made the food taste so much different, much richer, much, especially like mangoes and other vegetables and stuff like that.
Or he was just hallucinating from the lack of oxygen.
Could be. But it was really interesting. Oh, it's on nice. Disney Plus. There's only 6 episodes. If you like Gordon Ramsay, you're going to like this. I mean, half the episode's fucking bleeped out.
That's right, because it's Disney Plus.
I mean, it's rated TV-14 for language and smoking. But here's what I've discovered. They don't do this per episode rating. This must be for the whole season, because no one was smoking in this episode.
Hmm.
I've noticed that with Netflix doing that a lot too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And Amazon
tobacco use. And yeah. You're like, what?
Yeah, like every episode of Supernatural is like, it's rated TV-14 for gore and suicide and da 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 da. I'm like, well, there was no gore in this episode, but it's like a standard. This is why it's this, because over the course of the show, you could see this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we liked it.
Nice.
We watched.
By the way, I'm totally making Nobody Eats Beaver in Maine the title of this episode.
Okay.
I typed it down. I'm like, yeah, that seems about appropriate.
Watched episode 6 of Upload.
Okay. It, getting even better, isn't it?
Yeah. Like,
I love the Gordita Crunch thing.
Oh, that was hilarious.
The whole script.
I love Luke's interaction with his angel.
I'll put this in my Alicia. Fingers and dicks drawer.
And yeah, I love their interaction. And he's like, you just cut my dick off. You know what I mean? Just razzing back and forth. And so he calls for Angel's supervisor, who shows up. And she's like, fine, I'll put it back. And she puts his dick back on. And I love it. And he goes, balls under, please.
Yeah.
And then when the angel shows up, the angel, he's standing there with his hands in his pants, going, oh, everything's fine. And he's like, no, no, we're fine. We're just messing with each other. We do that. Like, he was cool.
Yep.
Cool to her. And, like, but she refused to apologize. Like, I just can't do that. Like, and he's like, no, we just bust each other the balls. That's what friends do.
Yep.
The supervisor leaves, and he's like, all right, just remember, maybe you lost this battle, but you're also going to lose the war. And give me back my fingers. And she gave him back, and he was like, see ya. And he had six fingers.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Like,
I love the scene of him, like, in the bathtub with the mountain of Gordita crunches.
Just, yeah.
She's like, drop it.
I like that he's figured out how to, like, make the angel zap someplace else by pushing.
Yeah.
He's
hacked the whole system.
Yeah.
The Nokia Taco Bell Crunchwrap Supreme promotion.
Yeah. Nora to Nathan. Tip, if you hit speed up, we can get this over faster.
And he keeps hitting the speed up.
It feels like 16 times.
Like, that was a long...
How long was that promo?
Yeah. But we also got... what's her name there? Shoot, I didn't write it down.
His girlfriend, Ingrid.
Yeah, Ingrid, yes. She's having a sleepover with his little sister there. Yeah, his niece.
Niece Nevaeh.
And her family just sucks.
Oh my God, they are pieces of shit to each other.
They really are. And she gives it right back to them, but yeah, it doesn't make her a better person.
No.
It just makes her adept at being a piece of shit.
And the thing, I like when Nevaeh says to her, like, you guys always talk to each other like this? Like, yeah. What? Like horrible to each other?
Yeah.
I guess we do. And then
she's like, let's make my hair like yours. I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Okay, well, going back when Nevaeh meets up with Nathan at the beginning, and he's talking to her, and then he's like, just don't let her straighten your hair.
Yeah.
Don't let her make her hair like yours. And then, you know, they have things, she goes, let's make our hair match. And then you cut to Ingrid later, she has big curly hair like her. I thought that was hilarious. But when Nevaeh bites into a bone in the chicken leg she's eating, she's like, ow. And then Ingrid says to her, oh, that's a bone. Chickens, you know, real chickens, you know, they have bones in them.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I thought she was being like a condescending bitch. But then it's like, no, because this girl's used to eating, like, not nuggets. Real food.
Yep.
Well, like, food. Because apparently everyone from there eats food from, like, a machine, like on Star Trek.
Right.
And no one eats real food because it's too expensive.
Yep.
And so she's used to it coming without bones or whatever, you know, the way she eats it. And she was devouring the food. And, like, her family's treating her like shit.
Mm-hmm.
And Ingrid's younger brother, who's, like, 16 or 17, his mother's wiping his mouth for him. Like,
yeah.
And when they started being mean to Nevaeh, she threw him the fuck out of the house.
Yes.
Which I thought was great.
It was.
Because
she's still a piece of shit, but...
But then later on, when they had their hair done together and they're having like a dessert or something together...
And we knew this was coming.
And she gives Nevaeh like a sweatshirt. This was your uncle's. And remember when we saw Fran in the car?
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh, it probably wasn't her. And she's like, well, I went back into his car and I set it to occupant priority.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it did any good, apparently. So we know what she was doing in the car now. They've explained that.
Exactly, which we were waiting for.
But she goes, I took his sweatshirt because I wanted to have it because it smelled like him and I wanted to wear it home. She clearly really likes him. Like, deep down, yes, outerly, she's very superficial. Other people's opinions are very important to her.
Skinny jeans.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, she's all about appearances. But mm-hmm. then we get to see her in another level here. We're kind of deep down. She really loved him, cared about him, wanted a sweatshirt because it smelled like him, and then now wants to give it to his niece because that way she can remember her uncle.
Yeah.
It was actually really, like, thoughtful.
It was touching. I still don't trust her, though. I still...
You think it's a red herring because we're seeing Nathan and Nora kind of becoming...
Not just that, but I think that she is... We've seen that she is conniving enough and self-absorbed enough
yeah.
that doing something nice for someone else just isn't her style. Like, we haven't seen her do it once yet.
Yeah.
So for her to do this, it almost feels like she's trying to throw somebody off the trail. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she
It feels suspicious to you.
Yep.
I get it.
Yep.
I get it.
But meanwhile, Nora and what's his name there are bonding a little bit more.
Nathan,
thank you.
Yep.
And she flat out asks him or tells him about the memories.
Yeah.
Like, she says, I recovered some of your memories that were fragmented and some of them were gone, but you were going to sell this thing to somebody. Does any of this ring a bell? And he's like, no, not really. So she's like, she's legitimately telling him the things, some of the gaps in his memory, and it's not sparking anything for him. But
and she's like, oh, my neighbor basically said he thought I was murdered too. And they're laying under the stars watching it together. And it's also like midnight or 2 a.m. or something, and she's the only one in the office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which was a little bit weird because they're all supposed to be angels for, you know, even if these people stay up at night or wake up, there's supposed to be an angel there for them.
Well, but she said if you ask for an angel right now, you'd get one from the answering service like in Mumbai.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. You
know. Now, remember, she also was in there because she had been on her date with that guy.
Right.
Who turns out to be a douche.
You know, yeah, even when he...
We knew that, though, the first time they fucked and he gave her 4 stars.
Yeah.
He's a douche, but he fulfills a physical need for her.
And it's weird because it's almost like they're showing he's got some redeeming qualities. Oh, no, he really doesn't. Like, I want to inspire kids, you know, to always do their best and everything like that. And if you see something in the world you want, you just take it.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, what if it belongs to somebody else? I teach him to be alphas, not betas. And he pounds his chest, you know. Yeah. And then he pays for me, like, hey, where do you want to go next? She's like, you mean like your place or mine? No, like, I actually like this talking stuff. Maybe it'll make the sex better. I don't know, but I like to keep this talking stuff.
Yeah.
So they keep giving him little redeemable things and then taking them straight away.
Let's go see your work. I'd like to see about this. And then he looks and he goes, oh my God, this one's painting something like they're real people. What a loser.
Yeah, because he kept out like, what do you like working with ghosts for? How's it like working with ghosts? And she's like, they're not ghosts. So, but... she falls asleep,
mm-hmm.
and her friend Alicia wakes her up, like, you need to get up, and the boss is right there, and the episode ends with, Nora, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's a great ending to an episode.
It really is. Yep.
Yeah, I wasn't 100% sold on the show. After the first,
stuck with it.
I am. Yeah. Well, if it had been an hour-long show, I probably wouldn't have.
Right.
But it would have been a lot harder. Where it's a half hour, mm-hmm. it's a lot easier to, you know, to watch. So we got, 3 episodes left?
Yep.
4 episodes left. 7, 8, 9, and 10, so.
Oh, okay. Yep. One of the funniest things in there was the douchebag guy who was getting ready for their date, and she's like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she blew him off at first, right?
Yes.
And he's standing there in the supermarket, and he looks down, and he's like, the little camera scans him and says,
yes,
your condom size is medium. And he looks around. There's a woman looking at him. He goes, I'll just take the large. And then over the intercom, it says, the condom size dispute, aisle 4. would suck.
That was pretty fucking hilarious.
That would suck. But, yeah, it was fucking funny.
I don't want to deep dive into it because I unfortunately watched 3 episodes. It's hard to deep dive into 3 episodes. But let's talk about Hannibal.
You know, honestly, though, these 3 episodes all seem to be like they stretch together into one kind of theme.
Yeah.
The broad and dirty of it
is
my sister was watching this when it was on TV, and she used to tell me, oh my God, you got to watch this show. I love this show, blah, blah, blah. And I noticed it was getting like a cult following.
Yeah.
Now that I'm watching it, I can kind of see it.
Yeah.
This is really good TV.
It's excellent.
I love it.
Mads Mikkelsen as Dr. Hannibal Lecter. I mean, who'd have thought you could replace Anthony Hopkins?
Right.
Because he made the role iconic.
He's the only one that's managed to stay through all the movies.
Yeah.
You know?
So, but no, I mean, I enjoy him.
Yeah.
This is, now, I don't know, timeline-wise, if this is supposed to line up with the movies at all or not. I haven't looked into it.
I believe this takes place way back before even Red Dragon. It may take place after Red Dragon. It's definitely before Silence of the Lambs. But
it says, the series is based upon characters and elements appearing in the novels Red Dragon, Hannibal, and Hannibal Rising. The series is focused on the budding relationship between FBI agent Will Graham,
mm-hmm.
a crime scene investigator who holds the ability to empathize with psychopaths and murderers, and Dr. Hannibal Lecter, a forensic psychiatrist and secret cannibal destined to become Graham's most cunning enemy.
And honestly, I think you would be missing a lot of the innuendo and such on this show if you didn't already have at least a cursory understanding of the movies and the fact that Hannibal Lecter is a cannibal.
Gillian Anderson's on this eventually?
Oh, nice.
Sorry.
Because, you know, right there in the first episode, they allude to, they never 100% say it, but they allude to the fact that he is eating human body parts.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've seen the movies or you even know about the movies, then you know that he does. And it kind of, like, it gives you that inside track. Whereas if you were just watching the show with no knowledge of these characters, I think you'd be a little bit less thrilled.
Well, I don't know if it's episode one or episode two, because we don't even meet Hannibal Lecter until midway through episode one, I believe.
Right.
But I think it's episode two where Hannibal Lecter is flat out cutting up a pair of lungs.
No, that's in the first episode.
That is the first episode? Yep. Okay. And now it's assumed they're human lungs.
That's the thing. Yeah.
But they could be animal lungs, I guess.
Because at the same time, that's transposed with Will talking about the removal of the lungs from one of the victims.
Yeah.
And
that the person, the serial killer's eating them.
Mm-hmm.
But Hannibal Lecter's not the serial killer of record in this.
Right. But he does one of the kills to kind of throw them off.
Yeah. Which is interesting. Well, it's like when he tipped off the first serial killer before they could catch him.
Mm-hmm.
Like called him and said, hey, they're on to you. They're coming for you. And they're coming for you, Barbara. Sorry, how did you Night of the Living Dead? And then when they show up at the house and the guy slit his wife's throat and then he gets his daughter by knife and Graham ends up shooting him.
A lot.
Well, shooting him once in the shoulder to get him away, and he still cuts open his daughter's carotid and then he shoots him all up. And then his daughter's apparently fucked up. We find out in episode three when she wakes up.
Which, wasn't that interesting? Because, like, when she first wakes up, first you get the flashback of them hunting together.
Yes.
And you get the impression that she is, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the psychopathic tree. So you really get the impression that, oh, we're dealing with another psychopath here. But then as the episode goes on and we see, like, her interacting with her friend and seeming like she's really genuinely upset, disturbed by everything that happened. But it keeps going back and forth, because then we've also got, like, when she first walks into the house and she's like, why did they turn all the pictures around in the fridge? Oh, the cleaning crew, the forensic cleaners usually do that so that they don't see the faces of the family. She's like, oh, she looks at the floor. She's like, no, they did a good job. So it almost seems like she's, you know, a psychopath. But then she genuinely seems like she's broken down
with
her friend. So you keep going back and forth. You're like, is she crazy like her dad, or is she a victim? Even at the very end, when Hannibal basically, like, rescues her.
Yes.
He's like, you gutted this kid. You know? You killed him. He was not going to kill you. You killed him. Now, either you can go out there and try to sell your story to them, or I can help you get rid of the body.
No, he didn't say he wasn't going to kill you. He said this is beyond self-defense.
Well, no, because he didn't say those exact words, but she said he was going to kill me. And he goes, really? Do you know that he was going to kill you? And she's like, Yes, I think he was. And he's like, and that's when he was like, this is beyond self-defense. You gutted him. And,
it wasn't just like she stabbed him. I mean, he was cut open from his stomach to his chest. Mm-hmm. I mean, like when you're gutting a deer.
Mm-hmm.
But you see Hannibal bring William Graham breakfast one morning at a hotel. And it's a it's a protein scramble with sausage and this and that, and you're just like, is that human flesh?
Or in the second episode when he's having dinner with Lawrence Fishburne's character.
And they're having...
Fishburne, awesome use right. of him.
And they're having loin. What kind of loin is it? Pork. Oh, it's delicious. Is it though? Is it really pork loin?
Right.
I mean, I go back to the, you know, not Silence of the Lambs, but in Hannibal, I think it's Hannibal Rising, but they just called it Hannibal, when he's feeding the FBI agent his own brain, cooking it up and feeding it to him.
Yeah.
Fuck.
And then, so we're talking about the first and the third episode. Then we had the second episode, which almost felt out of place, except for the fact that we checked in to see that the daughter was still in her coma in the hospital. So it was kind of a filler there. I had a problem. Like, that was gross, but I couldn't look away from the mushrooms that were growing on these people.
Yes. I felt the same way.
Like,
yeah.
this person had buried these people alive. He basically put them in a diabetic coma because they were all diabetics. He induced a diabetic coma, put them in the ground, and was force-feeding them sugar water through an IV tube, gave them breathing apparatus so that they could continue breathing, and put a mixture on them so that they would grow these mycenids.
Yeah.
These mushrooms that he believed, you know, communicated with them. And, you know, he was talking to Will later on, and he's like, if you walked through a field, they would crawl towards you. You know, the spores would reach out for you. They recognize us, and they want to be part of us. And it was really gross, but again, I couldn't look away. And then, of course, the girl wakes up, and we get the third episode, like we're talking about. You're right. We can't really, like, do it too much justice, but I think we've done a pretty good job. Like, I'm excited to watch more of this.
I'm hooked, and I almost just want to sit and burn through it. Like, I'm
fighting the urge. Because there's, like, three seasons.
We have 39 episodes. So, well, 36 more to go.
Yeah.
So it's almost like one episode a week would be, 36 more weeks.
Wow.
We're going to have more shows to watch in the interim. So part of me is like, do we just do one a week and just...
Yeah.
Or do we do two a week?
I think two is more reasonable.
Right. Cuts it down to 18 weeks.
But also that way we're not, like, overwhelming ourselves and being like, fuck, now I got to watch two episodes of that.
I think, you know, like, I remember I texted you yesterday and I was just like, hey, just so you know, I'm watching the third episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I think...
As long as we keep in contact with each other.
But let's try and stay level at it.
Yeah,
you know
let's
what
do
I mean?
Two episodes a week.
Let's plan on two. And if we find ourselves we want to watch a third, just like, hey, do you have time to watch a third episode?
Yep.
Because as much as I do want to burn through it, it's like I know in the weeks to come there's not a lot.
Of stuff. Like, for instance, we just saw the season finale of What We Do in the Shadows.
I know. That was really sad, actually.
You know what's even sadder?
What?
Just to jump ahead for a second, Jemaine Clement shows back up, and that was awesome, but they did an interview with him talking to him about it, and they said, you know, oh, what about that big cliffhanger ending that you left it on with Guillermo, and, you know, what are you going to do? And he said, well, I don't know, that's the writer's problem, because as of right now, I'm leaving the writer's room.
What?
Yeah, so he's not going to be a writer for the show anymore next season.
Why not?
He just didn't want to do it anymore. It didn't sound like it was anything bad, like he was pissed or anything. He was just like, yeah, I'm not going to be doing that anymore.
Fuck.
Yeah. So that's a bummer.
Yeah, that is.
Because we need to know what happened to Gizmo.
Yeah, we do.
Guillermo Biermo.
Yeah, so the episode opens with Nandor stuck and can't get out of his own casket.
Yeah.
And he's yelling for Guillermo to open it for him. And Guillermo, are you standing on the lid? And then finally he manages to get out of the casket
Let's remember that vampires have superhuman strength.
Yeah. And then he's like, aren't you going to come over here and hold my hand while I step out so I don't fall? Like, all these just nonsense stuff. And then he finally goes down to Guillermo's room just to note this is sorry. And then cut to, it's been a period of unknown time, but you have, you know, Nandor and Laszlo and Nadja. And there's dead bodies all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And their clothes are all dirty because they've been covered in blood and they don't know how to get them clean. And no one knows Guillermo's last name to get a hold of him.
Nandor's wearing like a basketball jersey.
It's an NBA Dream Team jersey from like 1992.
Colin Robinson slips coming down the stairs on blood and a body. And gets, like, blood up the side of his... And he's like, oh, God, now what am I going to do? And they're like, well, just go change into one of your other beige suits. He goes, no, I'll just say I had an accident on the bus.
And so they get invited to this fancy French theater production, and only the upper echelon of vampires get invited, and they've been waiting to get invited 500 years, and they're finally going to go. And so they, and Colin Robinson's going to go with them, so they head out. And in the interim, we cut to Guillermo's at his mom's house, and he's like, I just had to go because I couldn't let them find out that I was a vampire killer because it's in my blood, and I can't stop doing it, and this and that, and... But he's got to go back to the place to get, like, his mini fridge.
Yeah.
And
the one possession he has.
And he finds all the dead bodies, and nobody's there. And he slips and falls on the blood. And then he sees and Nadja's doll.
Yes.
Is talking, which, like,
I'm so glad they've kept her.
Which is like, oh, they're doing fine without you. Their lives are so much better, and on and on and on and on. And then Guillermo, and she goes like, oh, they went to the theater, and they got invited to blah, blah, blah.
To the vampire theater.
Yeah. And so Guillermo goes and looks at the invitation, and he's like, oh, this is really nice. And then he sees, like, well, that's like the...
He holds it up to the fire, and the shadow comes through.
He's like, what's... That's the seal to the Vampire Council. This is a setup. They did know that, right? I mean, they didn't actually go to this, did they? And he looks at the dolls just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
You know? And, of course, so Guillermo goes to rescue them. Mm-hmm. And this is when they find out that this is a setup. They should have been killed, and they weren't. So the play is about their lives, showing them killing all these vampires that they didn't kill.
Starting with the Baron.
Yep.
And how they escaped from a... From a Dilbert-looking guy who rescued them.
And all this other stuff. And we're seeing, like, Guillermo's kills, that whole vampire family that was killed by Guillermo and everything else. And Guillermo shows up with his camera crew, of course. And he scales the building because he has, apparently, vampire hunting skills and this and that. And finally, like, I like Nandor is going to basically...
They have a big guillotine, well, pendulum blade that's going to, like, chop all their heads off. And they show it on the dummies, and then they bring them up on stage. I like how their biggest complaint, the vampire's biggest complaint, was that they didn't like how the play was portraying them. Yeah. We didn't dance around like that. I would never dance like that. No, that is that seriously supposed to be me?
Except for Colin Robbins, like, man, the guy that's doing me is pretty spot on. Yeah.
I never went back to look at the credits to see if, like, they got
specific. I kept wondering if it was just them.
Right.
Doing it themselves, but, like, with bad makeup or bad costuming, you know? I actually meant to look at that, but I didn't. And I like it when, like, Nandor's just like, or Laszlo, Nandor's like, or, yeah. No, Guillermo's one that killed the Baron, and I already killed him myself with my bare hands, and da-da-da-da-da. And Guillermo's just like, I don't know if he's saying that because he respects, he's trying to cover for me, or because he doesn't know my actual name.
Right.
You know, and all this other stuff. And then they bring out...
And then they did totally throw Guillermo under the bus. They're like, it was him. It was him. He did it.
And then they bring out their Guillermo, like, child size version. And, you know, oh, you think a familiar killed these people? They can't do anything. And then they make fun of him. And then Guillermo flies down in and just, well, kills everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Literally kills every fucking vampire there.
Yep.
In a very violent, bloody battle.
Except for Jermaine Clement's character, who batted away.
And then I like it when the camera falls down. The camera guy falls down. Then when he gets back up, when he's done, everybody's dead.
Yeah.
And the vampires are still, like, his vampires are still tied up. And he said, I mean to tell you guys, you know, I'm a vampire hunter or something like that. And what was the last thing they said to him? Like, great, but why are we still on? Why haven't you untied us yet?
Yeah. Or, like, you know, we haven't been able to do our laundry.
Yeah. It was something like that. Like, it was
just completely self-absorbed. Wasn't like the fact,
yeah, because they just killed, he just killed every vampire in front of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sad it's gone.
But it's coming back. It's got a third season.
Yes.
Fourth
season.
Third. That was just the second season.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, third season.
Yeah. Along those lines, I will say I finished my rewatch of Community.
Yeah.
And I sent you a message because they had a grifting class in season 6.
Yes.
And the grifting professor was Laszlo.
I know. Well, when you sent me that, I went, oh, my God, it was.
Yeah. that was really cool because he has the same voice and the same look and everything. And I wanted him to say that, you know, he was Jackie Daytona, but that would have been great. But there's no way that they could have known unless that was one of his personas from back then.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been sweet. I didn't realize you'd never watched the final season of Community because it was on the Yahoo TV and you just wouldn't.
I watched like the first two episodes when it was on Yahoo and it was just such a pain in the ass to try to get it.
It was,
And so I was like, fuck it. Eventually it'll be out on DVD or something.
What's it on now? Hulu?
Hulu and Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Because I did watch it when it was on the Yahoo TV, but I watched it like at work on my phone because that's where I had the app.
Yep.
So I may rewatch it on like, you know, a TV.
They had so many guest stars in the last season. Jesus Christ.
I think Yahoo was really hoping that this was going to launch their platform, which it didn't.
No. No, it didn't.
Didn't watch any more of Orange is the New Black, really, or Barkskins, or Reckoning, three shows I had kind of started again.
Yeah.
Mostly because, you know, just some of those shows, it's hard to watch when Wesley's awake. And Wesley goes to bed, and Kate... my wife, she goes to bed right after him.
Yeah.
She goes to bed early, typically. Yeah. So, but we have watched, I think, three episodes of the new season of Queer Eye. That's on Netflix.
Oh, nice. Still liking it?
Yeah, I really do. Like, the guys, they are really good at their jobs. Mm-hmm. That they, you know, that of connecting with people, finding what's good for them. I mean, at least on the surfaces, from what I can see, they really seem to be. Like, they're in Philadelphia this season. And they're helping, you know, people in Philadelphia. And this seemed to have been all filmed last fall, in September, fall 2019.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, it's just, it's really good. We really enjoy it.
Nice.
Yeah. It's something we can watch in front of Wesley without worrying about him.
Which is big.
Yeah, unlike like Orange is the New Black. We really can't watch that in front of him. You know, there's cursing and nudity. And, you know, there's a lot of innuendo on Queer Eye, but it's nothing he's going to pick up on.
Right. Not at his age.
Right. So, but yeah, I'm still really digging that.
I did watch the next episode of The Great, and I got to say, this one really dropped a lot of the comedy.
Yeah.
And it went more for the dramatic kind of thing. Basically, you saw like the first episode, you saw how that friend there, he's been screwing his wife, and well, the friend finally has enough because Peter got a little rambunctious and gave his wife a black eye this time.
Oh, shit.
And she's like, well, you know, it's what he wanted. So so he actually scrapes up some arsenic and puts it in Peter's food. And Peter gets what they believe is cholera, which immediately made me think of A Million Ways to Die in the West. You know, the black shits. but yeah, they're pretty much sure he's going to die and that the Empress is going to take over.
Yeah.
But then some in the church don't want that, so they're trying to... It was revealed a couple episodes back that there is another heir, a younger kid.
Yeah.
His brother, and he's a real fucktard.
Peter's not?
Well, yeah, but this kid is basically like 9 or 10 years old, acts just like him. You know, spits on people and tells you, go fucking do this for me.
Yeah.
So then they're like, well, he can be the new emperor. You know, we won't pass it to the empress. We'll keep it in the bloodline. And his aunt there, who's usually so unassuming and gentle, cut the kid's throat.
Oh, shit.
Like, dragged him into the room and was holding him up with his throat cut. And the empress is like, you killed him. You cut his throat. She goes, I did it. And I did it in front of all of his supporters out there so that they could see that this is what happens if they turn against you. And then Peter wakes up and he's like, oh, fuck, I feel much better. I'm kind of hungry. So he's not actually dead, but it was a lot darker.
That is pretty dark.
Yep.
Kill a child.
Yeah. Yeah. And then hold his body splayed out with his throat cut and his head dangling down. Yeah.
Damn.
Yep. Did you happen to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week?
I did watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They're in 1955.
Call me bastards.
Area 51.
Yep. Which all the areas are S.H.I.E.L.D. Lake bases.
Yeah. I you know, one thing that I thought was cool, excuse me, and I got to be honest when I say it didn't telegraph and never even occurred to me that this would happen or whatever, but when Fitz,
mm-hmm.
or was it Simmons?
Simmons.
Because Fitzsimmons, I had a teacher named Fitzsimmons.
Yeah.
And it was when Simmons pretended to be Peggy Carter.
Mm-hmm.
It never even occurred to me they might bring someone from the show on. I didn't even think of it.
Which I love that actor.
Yeah.
He's
oh, yeah.
one of my favorite actors.
And when they brought Sousa back, as soon as the guy got out of the car with Kane, I went, oh, oh, oh. Yeah. I was like, yes. Like, I just thought it was so cool because obviously the two shows take place in the same timeline, mm-hmm. all in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And to see them bring him back, you know, to play the character again, it was so cool.
It was. And I loved how everybody was, like, such a big fan.
Yes.
When she's like, oh, shit, it's you.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, it's me. And she's like, I'm such a big fan. He's like, that's great. I'm going to take you out of here now.
Yeah.
And then even
Coulson. Coulson's like, I'm a huge fan. He really is. Yeah. You know, like, I just, I don't know. I liked it a lot. And it was really cool to see him back. I think it would have been nice if they would have told him what was going on because he is a member of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. It would have been made things easier. But
it looks like next week they've got to save him.
Oh, is he back? I didn't see him next time on S.H.I.E.L.D.
The next time on S.H.I.E.L.D. has him back because I believe they said that he is going to be the first one that like calls out Hydra and S.H.I.E.L.D. And so they need to prevent the Chronicons from fucking that up. I did think it was very interesting that we got that scene in the diner in the beginning, which was played low-key, but it really meant something, which was Mac and Yo-Yo enjoying lunch, and the woman like basically throwing the plate down on the table,
you know,
because you've got a Hispanic woman and a black man.
Yeah.
And back then, that was A, unheard of, and B, unacceptable.
They were in New Mexico,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't realize New Mexico was segregated.
Mm.
I didn't think they were, because my first thought was like, oh, they're in the 1950s and Mac is black. And I hope they don't deal with this shit. And yeah, she was rude to them, which I get, but I didn't think it was segregated. But then when you see Coulson and Daisy talking.
And Coulson's like, this is the best time. This is when S.H.I.E.L.D. was formed. This was a prime time for S.H.I.E.L.D. And she like points to the bathrooms.
And it shows white and colored mm-hmm. with the arrows. And it's like, and I'm like, oh, I didn't realize New Mexico was segregated. But you're right. They didn't harp on it. It was pretty lowbrow.
Yep.
Low key. That's what I meant. Low key. They kidnap a DOD agent that Coulson pretends to be to get on the base, and then they're interrogating him to try to get information out of him.
He always plays such a dick, but a good dick.
Yeah. And he kept calling him communist, 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 commie bastards. You're not going to fool me, this and that. But, you know, one of them, I can't think of the guy from the future, I can't think of his name.
Deke,
thank you. Does get him to slip up and say, like, oh, that thing doesn't even work anyways. There's nothing big enough to power it around here. And then when he escapes from the room and he, like, looks around, he's like, what's going on here? And Mac's like, I can explain. And then punches him in the face. And then they solve the problem of making him think they're aliens and they invaded and they're going to anal probe him next time.
Yeah, they like hover the ship right in front of him and they're like, Earthling, listen.
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic because they're just perpetuating the alien abduction thing because they're in, you know, it happens all the time in that area.
Yeah.
So I figured the next episode would be in the same timeline because they didn't say, oh, we got to go before we jump.
Right.
So
it's, it was a great episode.
It really was.
It was fun. It was lighthearted. And it was Peggy Carter's time, which I think they need to lock in on in the future and realize that that's a fun time period.
I would love to see a Captain America movie that takes place. Fuck, he's frozen, though.
Mm.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because I've always said I'd love to see a Captain America comic book done today that takes place in World War II. And just let it be that storyline. Don't mix with today. Just, you know, give us that time frame. I would love to read that.
Peggy Carter, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not Cap with the S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Super Soldier Serum.
Yeah. But we got Peggy Carter, the TV series, which what I think it sucks about is we spent the whole time in the TV series with her having to prove herself and build herself up. I would just like to see if we could see her as already established and she's you know.
I love that Sousa was when he called out, you know, Simmons for impersonating her. He goes, most unrealistic British accent I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah. That was funny. No, I enjoyed it. I'm glad to see Sousa back. Glad to see him back for another episode, too.
Yes. I will say I watched the second episode of Love Life on HBO Max, that Anna Kendrick one.
Okay.
Oh, your battery died?
Yeah.
Aw. I really dig this show. And they did announce this week that it's getting a second season.
Okay.
But It's a second season that is going to be, they're calling it an anthology. I don't consider it an anthology in the way that you, because you and I always have this discussion, this argument about what an anthology is. They're saying it's an anthology because every episode of this show focuses on her relationship with a guy. So, like, this time it was her ex-boss who we see in the very beginning, the narrator is talking about divorce and, you know, the percentages of people that get divorced. And that usually, if somebody's going to get a divorce, they think about it for 2 years before they actually do it and all these different things. So we see him in the couples therapy with his wife, and they're both just being complete assholes.
Yeah.
And then Darby comes to drop off some stuff for him because that used to be her boss, and they kind of hit it off and they kind of start dating. But in this case, she completely lost herself in him. It was one of those relationships where, like, he didn't want to go out with her friends. He's like, no, I'm tired. You know, I don't want to go stand around in the middle of this city trying to find a place that we might dance or not. I'm too tired. And she's like, okay, well, I'll go home with you. He goes, no, you can go out with your friends. No, I'll stay with you. And she basically just lost herself in him. Like, everything became an extension of him, which you've seen those type of relationships before. Mm-hmm. They're stupid. They're terrible. But they're considering that an anthology.
It's not.
No. But they're saying that next season is going to focus on a different person, but Anna Kendrick's character will pop up here and there. So they're saying that it'll be a different anthology. Again, it's not really an anthology in my opinion because it's not a collection of different stories. I guess kind of it is because each one of them takes place at a different point in her life with a different relationship.
But it's all her story and her life. It's all
her story, yes.
Now, if they did, now,
and it's leading to something that involves her.
If it was an anthology series where this season is about her and next season is about somebody else, that's an that's the new term for an anthology series, which I don't agree with.
I don't either.
An anthology series is Twilight Zone, Outer Limits, Tales from the Crypt, Tales from the Dark Side, Night Gallery, you know, Amazing Stories, you know, shows where every episode's a standalone story. Right. Or maybe you have a two-part story or something, but basically every episode's a standalone story.
Amen. But that being said, I still really dig this show. If you're into relationships, if you like romantic comedy type things or, you know, romantic comedies that can get a little sad, it's a good show. Okay. And I'm glad they're getting a second season.
I watched a few more episodes of Afterlife.
Oh, yeah?
Season 2.
How'd you like it?
I like it. This season's a lot different because now it's like he's trying to be supportive of people.
Oh.
Like,
what an interesting twist for him.
Well, he's trying to be better. And so he's trying to be supportive of people and be but in his own way. But at the same time, he's really, like, in the first season, he's just angry.
Yeah.
And then he's coming to terms with it. But in this season, he's so sad now. Like, he was angry in the first season, but sad. But now in this season, he's talking about it.
Okay.
Like, just basically, like, almost every episode, he breaks down to tears talking just how much he misses his wife and the things he took for granted. So if you really like sad relationship things, this second season's a good thing to watch because he really misses his wife.
Wow.
I finished up Supernatural season 15.
Okay.
That's been released. So it's 20 episodes, 17 are done, 13 aired, and they still have to do post-production and film some stuff for episodes 18, 19, and 20. So usually on Netflix, you get that season when it's all done, but they did put the first 13 episodes of season 15 on Netflix. And the show is supposed to return in the fall. So it's still technically season 15.
Okay.
It's just, I guess, part two. I don't know how they're going to do it, but once they can finally get them done, they start putting them back on. This whole season is they're battling God. Chuck's back. He showed up at the end of season 14.
Right.
And basically it ends with God snapping his fingers and opening up hell and letting all the demons out of hell. And all the souls and everything else.
Just for shits and giggles?
Yep, because God is very petty and vindictive and just wants to be entertained and none of us mean anything to him. And I could see a lot of religious groups having a problem with how God's portrayed in this.
I realize God's not portrayed as the best in the Bible, but I mean, like, in this, he's really not portrayed well. So
how did they fight God if he could literally just, he wouldn't even have to snap his fingers. He could just, like, think these are destroyed and they're destroyed.
It's they are explaining it in a way where basically we're finding out that God has created a multiverse.
Okay.
Because he made Earth, and then he was like, well, I'm done making this one. I'm going to go make another one now. And when he's on these other Earths, he can't control what's happening on this Earth. So that's why he made, like, the angel tablet and the all these. That's why he had Lucifer before he cast him to hell. And that's why he has the archangels and the other angels and the prophets and the angel tablets, so people can spread his message and his word while he's not there, while he's off building all these other multi-universes and writing all these other same stories involving Sam and Dean and all these other things, because that's like his favorite TV show, is watching Sam and Dean in all these different universes.
Okay.
So they do kind of explain it that and, you know, God has a sister on the show.
Right, I remember that.
And they do kind of explain it that God has a weakness and he is fallible.
He is phallic?
Yeah, fallible, because he made himself that way. So God has an Achilles heel because he had to leave.
He chose to.
Yes, but it's the only way he could leave this realm and go to the alternate universe to make another Earth.
Okay.
He had to make the Earth sustainable without him. It's a little convoluted, but they do make it explain and kind of make it make sense. I didn't take notes on it, so I'm kind of going by memory.
Gotcha.
But we're seeing all the best stuff. You know, Kevin Tran came back for an episode because he came up out of hell. And, you know, in season 14, episode 300, we got to see their dad again. They explained a story of how they were able to bring their dad back. And, you know, Felicia Day is back as Charlie. And, of course, oh, and Ruby came back.
Which Ruby?
Jared Padalecki.
I'm assuming not Katie Cassidy.
Not Katie Cassidy. Genevieve Padalecki.
Gotcha.
But like Ruby, so we're getting all these characters from over the seasons because all the hell's been open, so they're all coming out. So they're coming back, and some of them are going to be the original actors, and some of them are in new meat suits, as they call it. So it's been interesting.
Okay.
It's been interesting. I can't say this is the best season of the show, but I'm going to watch the final 7 episodes and finish it out.
Dude, you definitely can't say this is the best season of the show. They had some phenomenal seasons.
Oh, early seasons, yeah.
Yeah.
But I do want to say that, like, if it hadn't been for the pandemic and being working from home and just having my tablet set up on the table with this running while I'm doing work, so kind of watching it in the background,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have finished it. Like, I wouldn't have given it the time to finish it.
Gotcha.
Because I had to finish season 13, watch all of season 14, and all of season 15, basically.
Ugh.
And quite frankly, like I said, if I hadn't had this time, because I'm working from home all the time, I wouldn't have finished it. Too much other stuff I would rather watch.
Yeah.
So that's it for me for shows, I think.
I watched one other new show, and I've made a decision on a show.
Okay.
Crossing Swords, that new one on Hulu.
Yeah, I saw that.
I watched the first episode.
And?
I liked it.
Okay.
It was, dude, it's R-rated. Like, they actually have, they look like the little people, you know, that have no arms or legs or anything like that.
Yeah.
And it's all stop motion. But at one point, the queen, they're having it's a squire's tournament, you know, who's going to be the new squire. And the queen basically takes each potential into her tent and fucks them raw. And she's got a little painted on bush, and she's got some titties. And yeah, she makes them all strip down to their underwear. And yep, one of them doesn't have underwear, so he's walking around, Adam Pauly's character. So that's awesome. And he's walking around with his dingus hanging out. And he's like, anybody got any extra underwear? Okay, then this is happening. But it's funny.
Okay.
I enjoy it. Very crass, you know?
Yeah.
They his dad and mom kick him out of the house one day. They're like, well, tomorrow you're getting kicked out of here. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, well, I got a pool table coming. It's going in your room and I'm fucking your mom on it. And he's like,
what do you mean? And he goes, well, you've got a choice to make. You can either be part of this or you can get out of the house. And mom's like, boy, sounds like both of you have some high aspirations that aren't going to come true. So I enjoy it. I'm looking forward to watching more of it. But I've decided that I'm going to, like, in this down period here, like you said, where there's not a lot on, you know, I finished Doom Patrol, finished What We Do in the Shadows. I'm going to make a sincere effort. I'm going to go back because I believe it's Hulu has all the episodes, and I'm going to watch 12 Monkeys, the TV series.
Good luck.
I loved what I saw of it before. I fell off of it because I was dating somebody and I didn't have the time. You know, I wasn't home enough. And I really want to see how this finishes out, but I want to start from the beginning. I love time travel. I love the concept. Everything was going so well. So I'm going to start back at the beginning and I'm really going to.
It's on Hulu.
Love it. Four seasons.
It's an FX series, so.
Yep. Four seasons. Like 10 or 12 episodes per season. So it shouldn't be too bad. Did you ever watch any of it when it was on?
I did watch the first season, and I had trouble with it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because it was confusing, or because you didn't like the writing, or?
I had a hard time sticking with it.
Okay. Well, I will report back as I watch more of it.
Okay.
So what you got for movies?
One.
Me too.
The Night Clerk. What's yours?
The New Child's Play. It's on Hulu now.
Isn't that the one?
With Mark Hamill as the voice of Chucky. And he's a connected device like an Alexa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ends in a department store.
Yep.
Okay, I did see that one. I did get that red box.
Yeah, I remember you.
All right. Just couldn't remember because I thought you said that was coming to HBO or something.
Maybe it was.
I don't know.
But no, they're having a series. They're having a Child's Play series. It's going
to
be coming.
You know what I'm looking forward to coming out on HBO here pretty soon? The new Perry Mason series.
Mm.
That actually looks really good.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear, by the way, that HBO is dropping HBO Go?
Oh, no, I didn't
know that. Because it's too confusing to have HBO Go, HBO Now, and HBO Max. So they're going to rebrand Now, and they're going to drop Go, and have HBO Max, and then whatever this new branding is that's going to be the bargain basement version of HBO.
I may not watch it then.
They'll get their shit together.
We'll see what happens.
Yep.
So The Night Clerk popped up on Netflix June 6th. Apparently it stars
it sounds
familiar. Ty Sheridan. He was Scott Summers, Cyclops in the X-Men series, the new 2016-2019 reboot one. He was
I was like, no, he was not. James Marsden
was. No, in the new one. He was Wade Watts in Ready Player One.
Oh, yeah. I like him.
Yeah, he was decent. Helen Hunt's in it. Wow. Plays his mom.
Wow.
And John Leguizamo's in it.
Wow, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit.
It was okay.
Yeah.
Basically, it's called The Night Clerk. Ty Sheridan plays a guy named Bart Bromley. And I won't go too much into it because in case you want to watch it. But he is a night clerk at a hotel chain. So he works the front desk 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. And he has Asperger's. He's on the spectrum.
Okay.
And
aren't we all?
Yeah. And essentially, there's a murder at the hotel. And he is a suspect. And John Guzmán is the police officer. And Helen Hunt plays Bart's mom. And he's a suspect. But they kind of can't prove it.
Okay.
So, but they have their suspicions, of course. So his character, he's not good around people. But he studies people. And he tapes everything so he can go back and watch the tapes to practice dialoguing.
Okay.
That's how he has to practice to pretend how people would react. And he kind of uses their inflections like, hey, how are you? Like he practices saying it a lot so he can say it to sound sincere like he wants to know. When in reality, he doesn't care.
Okay.
So it's interesting.
Hmm.
I didn't dislike the movie. It's only an hour and a half. But I'm not going to give it a hard sell.
Yeah.
And I probably wouldn't watch it again.
Same thing with me in this Child's Play.
Yeah.
The original story was that he was a serial killer that transferred his soul essence into the doll.
Yeah.
And in this one, it's basically right at the beginning, we see the manufacturing plant making these Chucky dolls.
Yeah.
And some guy, the supervisor, pisses off his employee, so his employee's like, I'll get even with him. I'm going to turn off all the safeties on this one doll. Ha, ha, ha. And so this Chucky becomes, he's not even sentient. He just basically, like, he is supposed to learn, like any connected device does. And he, like his Andy, will say things like, you know, oh, the cat's pissing me off. I wish this cat would leave me alone. So he murders the cat. Now he left you alone and we can play again. Or, you know, I wish this guy would go away and leave us alone. God, I hate him so much. I wish he'd go away. So Chucky learns that and says, oh, Andy wants me to get rid of him, and murders the guy. And then cuts his head off and wraps it in gift wrap and leaves it there for him and says, look, it's a gift for you. Which, that was a little bit over the top. And then the whole, like, he's trying to get rid of it. And yeah, it was okay. I definitely would not give this a hard sell.
It's the old the machines turning against us type storyline, though. It's a rogue AI who doesn't. It's almost like a rogue AI who's a psychopath who doesn't understand things. So, oh, the cat's bothering you, I'll kill the cat, now it can't bother you.
Yeah.
Well, you don't like your mom's boyfriend, he's mean to you, I'll kill him, and now he can't bother us. Now we can play again. That's like right. It's, yeah. I liked it better as, you know, was it not Ray Charles, but Charles Lee Ray, you know, who uses voodoo to put his
big difference between Charles Lee Ray and Ray Charles.
I know. Well, there's a Ray and a Charles in there.
Yep.
And uses voodoo to put his spirit or consciousness into a good guy doll. I like that way better.
Because he's, you know, cornered by the cops and he knows they're going to take him in.
And he's been shot. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Much, much better story.
Yep. Got some trailers?
No.
You shared one with me.
I can't remember if I shared it last week or this week.
Ghosts of War.
Did I share that last week?
Nope. I've got it written right here. Ghosts of War, Mike shared.
Oh, shit. Oh, you tell me yours.
The first one is bizarre but funny from the looks of it. Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga.
Oh, yeah.
Rachel McAdams and Will Ferrell as an Icelandic brother and sister team who are entering the Eurovision Song Contest, which apparently is a big thing, and they want to bring glory to their country. They're fairly clueless because, like, at one point, some of their country members are like, I don't want them to do this. I hate them. They suck. They suck so bad. And then it pans across, and they're standing right there, and they're like, so we're in?
Yeah.
It looks funny. It'll definitely not, I was about to say, be a theater movie. Nothing will be a theater movie. And then 7500.
Yeah, that looked good.
Yeah.
That looked really good and fucking intense.
Yeah. Joseph Gordon-Levitt as a co-pilot.
Yeah.
Some guys try to take over the plane. His wife is one of the stewardesses.
Yeah.
And he's told, you know, the pilot gets killed. So he's the only one that can land the plane, and they want into the cockpit. And he's told there is no way you are allowed to open up that door. And even his wife is like, don't open it. Don't open it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, who knows what they're going to do? Crash the plane or hijack it?
Right. And 7500 is the code for the hijacking.
Yep.
And like you see in the trailer, they give away a lot. But at one point, you see Joseph Gordon-Levitt talking on the intercom saying, they do not have guns. They don't have a bomb. They don't have weapons. They have broken pieces of glass.
Yeah.
Trying to encourage the other passengers to stop them.
Yeah.
You outnumber them. Yeah.
He's like, you outnumber them. You can take them if you work together.
Yeah. So
that'll be kind of cool.
It looks intense.
Yep.
You know, a lot of, and it seems like from the trailer, maybe it's not, but from the trailer, it seems like there's a lot of psychologicalness going on in it because it's him in the cockpit feeling helpless. And it seems like the camera stays with him and you only see what's going on in the back on his camera that he can see.
Right.
So it'll be interesting. Yes. My buddy Brandon shared the trailer Ghosts of War with me and I shared it with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I was going back looking through our feed, I think because I shared it, it doesn't show me sending it. It's kind of weird.
Oh, I got
the way, okay. Yeah. So this is, I'll just read the synopsis on it. But yeah, I think it looks great. During the darkest days of World War II, five American soldiers are ordered to hold a French castle formerly occupied by the Nazi high command. Their assignment spirals into madness when the group begins experiencing inexplicable events as their reality transforms into a twisted nightmare more terrifying than anything seen on the battlefield. So basically it's a haunted house story, but takes place during World War II and with American GI soldiers. It looks good.
It does.
It looks good.
And you know me, I'm not a big war movie guy, right, but this seems kind of cool.
Yep.
You get any news stuff?
I really don't.
I got some news stuff.
All right.
But I've already mentioned some of it.
Yeah.
Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist is getting a second season.
I know. I'm so excited.
Dude, that made my week seeing that. And I was like, I'm going to share with Mike. And then you were like, yeah.
Yeah, that was, I was pretty excited
that
about
was,
that.
That was great news.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
We loved that show so much. And then we didn't know. And then suddenly they're well, like.
Well, especially when the finale was, could when the series finale could have been a season finale.
Vice versa.
No, the season finale could have been a series finale.
Right, but you said it the other way.
Oh, well, I meant when the season finale could have been a series finale.
Gotcha. You remember I sent you a trailer a while back for a Dave Bautista movie called My Spy?
Yes.
He's in the CIA and that little girl like takes a video and she says she's going to share it with everybody unless he teaches her how to be a spy. It'll be on Amazon Prime June 26th.
Oh, wow.
Because apparently it's an Amazon original.
Okay.
So that's coming right up.
Hey, wasn't that 7500 also an Amazon original?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is. The Sinner got renewed for season 4. I was like, oh, I wonder if season 3 is out yet. Because
did you look it up? We were watching it
on Netflix. I didn't.
I'll keep going. I'll look it up.
Okay. And then there are a lot of release dates for movies that got pushed back. More and more of them, like Wonder Woman's now coming out in October.
Oh, this year still?
Yeah.
I thought I pushed back the next year.
Nope. Right now it's in October, but it's late October. Tenet, that time-bending one from Christopher Nolan.
Oh, yes.
Is apparently still coming out July 31st. It was supposed to be mid-July. Now it's July 31st. And they said that the stories and rumors seem to be that it's to keep Christopher Nolan happy because he really wants it put out no matter what. But if theaters aren't open, I don't know what he's planning.
Driving?
Maybe. I would see the fuck out of that in a drive-in.
Which, I mean, drive-ins, I mean, like we talked about it before we went on the air, but like a lot of the drive-ins in this area, when they started playing movies again, they played shit that was in the theaters this past summer.
And now they're playing like 80s classics.
Now they're playing all retro movies. You know, popular retro movies is the big schedule. You know, a lot of them playing E.T., Back to the Future, Jaws.
But here's the thing. These movies that are getting released, say, pushed back... Mm-hmm. I almost don't, like, I'm not going to sit here and report on it every week because then in 2 weeks they're going to push it back again and then they're going to push it back again. So I feel like it's nice that they're telling us this, but at the same time, it doesn't matter because it could be coming direct to video.
Yeah, eventually. Or they'll just have to keep waiting to show it in the theater, depending on how bad they want it in the theater.
Yep.
So the Sinner season 3 aired March or February to March,
but on USA it was Matt Bomer.
Yeah,
is it on Netflix yet?
I'm checking.
This is one of the things that I like about the CW shows is that, you know, they're on.
Yeah, like straight away.
Yeah,
it just shows that it has 2 seasons.
Okay.
And it's funny because the seasons are called Julian and Cora.
Okay.
Based on who it's about.
Oh, I forgot to mention it. I did watch the 3rd episode of Stargirl.
Oh, how was it?
It was interesting that she's recruiting her own Justice Society.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl that she got to play Wildcat,
yeah,
she got a little bit of a backstory where basically, like, she was Miss Popular. She was going to be student body president. You know, her whole family was pulling for her. She's a Latino girl, so big with her family. They were all very proud of her. And then she was studying one night, and her boyfriend texted her, and he's like, hey, you know, send me something sexy. And she's like, no, I'm busy. And he's like, come on, just for me, please. And he shared it, and the whole school got it, you know, her topless pic. And not only did it ruin her cred at the school and embarrassed her with everybody, but her family, like, she lives there, but they basically have disowned her. Like, they've grounded her indefinitely. This was 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she even has this speech at the end where she's like, you know, I need to try to get back to who I was before. I can't just keep being this, you know, I can't keep living in a shadow. I need to get back to who I was. And they look at her and they're like, you disgraced your family. You disgraced yourself. You will never be that person again. Get to your room. Like, her family wants jack shit to do with her because of it. And, yeah, it was, although they did kind of fuck one thing up really bad, which is that last week, one of the kids from the school died after getting hit by a truck in front of a busload of other students.
Ah.
And it's not even mentioned. Like, nobody at school seems to care. There's no memorial services. There's no, like, posters up of him.
That seems unusual for a CW show.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he was... The bus broke down on the bridge because Icicle had iced up the bridge. And he stupidly stepped out to pick something up. And this truck slammed right into him and killed him. And nobody seems to care.
Hmm.
Yeah. So you were making a lot of faces over there. What'd you discover?
Oh, Sinner Season 3 on Netflix, June 19th.
Oh, wow.
So in like 4 days.
Nice.
Yeah. 8 episodes.
Hmm.
So something new. I'll watch it. Yeah. One a week.
Yep.
That's only 8 weeks.
We can do that.
Yeah. So that's it for me, though.
That's
you
it
got any
for
other
me.
News? Okay. Well, you got any other news? I can see that you've packed up.
Yes, I have.
So cool. All right. Well, that's the show. On Twitter, I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K. It's good to be back.
It is nice to be back and talking in person.
Yeah.
Later.